I started writing to both of them every day. And now that my son is out of my out of the house, then I'd write just to my daughter now. I don't even know if they know I do it or if they care that I do it. But every day for 18 years, I've written to them. It's a sense of what goes on around here daily, which seems boring until, let's say now, my kids are in their 40s and they can read what it was like growing up in our house. Or they read of when their dad was a park ranger and what he did to end up getting promoted and why he ended up to leave his dream job of being a park ranger. It's full of family stories. Every day has been documented.
We believe that you are strong by design, and you were made in God's image to have a strong body, mind, and spirit. You're listening to the number one Strength and Health Authority podcast in the world. So let's get ready to unlock your potential and transform your life in today's episode.
Well, hey, what's going on? Welcome to another episode of the Strong by Design podcast. My name's Jared. I am one of the hosts here, and we believe that you've been created strong by design. That means that you've been created to be strong physically. You've been created to be strong mentally and spiritually. And so we like to bring on guests and have conversations about what does that mean? What does it look like? And how can we get back to being strong in these different areas of our lives? And so I have a really great guest with me today. It's somebody that I actually met him at the podcast movement a few months ago now, and he actually connected us with other guests that we've had on the show. Really excited to have today Jody Mayberry on the show. And so, yeah. Hey, Jody, so good to have you, man.
Yeah, thanks, Jared. It was great to see you in person, and I'm glad we followed up and connected again for your podcast.
Absolutely. And actually, the way that I met you, Jody, is because you were actually one of the speakers at Podcast Movement. You're talking about being a excellent podcast guest. And so this is your trial, trial by fire. We're going to see how you did it.
Well, what an interesting situation that you saw That's me right. speak about how to be a great guest. And yeah. Now I'm a guest on your show. And so,
and here you are.
Yeah. You can say, okay, well, does he practice what he preaches? I guess
exactly.
We're about
That's
to
right.
find out.
The bar is very, I'm setting the bar really high for you, you know, being the speaker. So,
yeah.
But, man, I just remember, there's a couple of things when you were speaking. I mean, you just did an excellent job, of presenting, and I felt like I connected with you there. You also helped me get connected with Lee Cockrell, who we, have had on the show now as well, and who's the Disney Magic guy. And I actually saw today, you actually were the voice of his book, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, two of them. Yeah. He narrated the first two books. I narrated the second two.
Right. And you do a podcast with him as well, right?
Yeah, that's right. Creating Disney Magic for 475 episodes in on that show.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Yeah. And just for those who are listening and if they want to check out that podcast, what exactly do you do on that podcast?
Well, that show's done in a format that I just refer to as host and star. I'm the host. Lee's the star. And mm-hmm. it's just my job to do two things. One, make Lee sound great every episode.
Yes. Hey, I've heard that somewhere.
And the other is to make sure you learn something when you listen. And so it's just walking that line to put on a good show. And that you can find that show anywhere you listen to podcasts. Wherever you listen to this one, you can find it there. Creating Disney Magic. We started that one towards the end of 2014, and it's gone great. It's a shorter show, around 15 minutes, although as time goes on, surprisingly, it's gotten harder to keep it at 15 minutes. You'd think
a little bit more lengthy.
Yeah, you'd think as the more we've talked, we could get them shorter, but yeah, mm-hmm. they're between 15 and 17 minutes, probably.
What topics are you guys tackling? Is it mostly leadership stuff? Is it all over the board?
It is mostly leadership, management, customer service. Sometimes we've got, depending on listener questions, that we've gone off in different directions. That's always fun to answer listener questions. Every once in a while, not too much. We've done some about parenting. But that's not typical. That's just because we had some questions. And probably the most popular episode we've ever done in a show that has done really well is an episode about anxiety and depression. That episode seemed to really catch on because people deal with that and they don't tell other people.
Super prevalent right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it has been for several years now. So
Yeah. So that's what that one is about. Mostly leadership, management, customer service, with the backdrop of course, Disney, because Lee ran Disney World. But he also was an executive at Marriott and spent time at Hilton. So wonderful background to talk about those subjects.
Yeah. It was a great conversation with him, you know, just from the whole hospitality side and how to treat people and how to manage people. It's just lots of great wisdom nuggets there that we got from him. And so thanks again for making that connection for us. Really, really appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome.
The other piece, though, that really stuck out to me when you were speaking is just kind of your background and your history, because you are a park ranger, if I'm remembering correctly. And you, did you do something with dog sleds? Is that correct? Or is that not correct?
No.
For some reason, I have dog sleds in my head. Why is that picture connected with Jody?
I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if I told you a story about dog sleds at some point, but no. I've never even been dog sledding, but it sounds like a great time.
Okay. Yeah, that's a totally made up memory in my head then.
Yeah.
Well, where were you when you were a park ranger? Where were you a park ranger at?
Yeah, I was here in Washington State where I live. I was a law enforcement ranger for Washington State Parks. So I spent half my time at a park over near the Idaho-Washington state line, and then the rest of my time out here where I live now in the Olympic Peninsula. So if you're unfamiliar with Washington State geography, and I don't know why you would be familiar with it, Olympic Peninsula is way out there. So it's almost as far north and west as you can get and still be in the country.
Okay.
It's beautiful, though. 3 months out of the year, it is the most beautiful place in the country.
Yeah. And the rest of the time it's covered in ice and snow, or?
Well, we don't get much snow here, but we get a lot of rain. A lot of rain and clouds.
Okay. It's, I mean, geographically, I mean, when I think of Washington and Oregon, it's kind of on the same parallel as like Ireland. And right?
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Yeah.
Because I lived in Ireland for a couple of years and it was the same deal where it's just lots of rain. You know, snow was like a big deal if we got snow, but it was kind of that dark, dreary. But there are times of the year that it was absolutely gorgeous and beautiful. So, you know, it sounds very similar. So you did that for a long time. Is there anything or any moments that really stand out to you as an unbelievable moment as a park ranger, or something that might bring a little bit of shock that maybe someone might not expect from the park ranger life?
Well, the first unbelievable moment for me was my first day. I was an unlikely park ranger because I went to college, got a degree in finance and a degree in marketing, and I was a financial analyst at a commercial bank, and then decided to become a park ranger. So that first day was just unbelievable. To go from shirt and tie, sitting at a computer all day looking at spreadsheets. So as a financial analyst, I measured interest rate risk, which is about as exciting as you think it would be.
Yeah.
So I go from that to park ranger, and I don't want to get too graphic, but my very first day, one is super exciting because holy cow, I'm a park ranger. And then someone drowned in the river on my very first day. There was a death in the park. And then in that first week as a ranger, there was another person found dead in the park, a homeless person who had died in the park. And then there was a medical incident in the campground. And I remember thinking, what did I get into? You know, I was sitting at a desk wearing a tie a week ago. And now this is, I thought it would be hugging trees and chipmunk on your shoulder, and it's not true. It is a wonderful job, but there is, when people ask questions like that, and I say the two things I didn't expect, I didn't know being a park ranger would involve so much blood and so much poop.
Oh,
The things people do in bathrooms is disgusting.
Yeah, I'm choosing not to imagine, but I can't imagine. I don't even know. I mean, is park ranger, is your job just to try to prevent bad things from happening? What's a park ranger do? What are your responsibilities?
Well, the number one responsibility is to range the park, but so that's it. Part of it is the presence of having a park ranger there, so you can protect the resource, make sure visitors have a great time and are safe. And specifically, I was a law enforcement ranger, so think police officer in the park. But on top of that, you have the other duties a park ranger does, like maintenance and interpretation, and it is a very unique job. But a given day, unless there was a project to work on, a given day as a park ranger could be just ranging, meaning you go wherever in the park because you know time of year, day of the week, where the activity's probably going to be. But you also don't want to let up on the parts of the park that you typically wouldn't go to, because who knows what's going on over there. But you do want to be where the people are going to be. So there's that. There's, depending on which park you're at, some of this will vary. The first park I spent half my career at, that was very heavily law enforcement. So quite often you're out doing patrol just to make sure people aren't doing dumb stuff or breaking stuff. So that could be doing speed patrol on the parkway, or just walking the trails looking for homeless camps, or checking fishing license. I mean, it is a wide variety. You could be in a kayak one day, a car the next day, a bike the next day. A lot of variety.
Yeah. Any ever major encounters with wildlife or?
You know that. So I have a two-part answer to that question. Yeah. One is people that is a question I get, because people assume you're wild.
You're wrestling bobcats and you know.
So people assume
riding bears, probably.
Exactly. People assume your wild encounters will be with wildlife. The truth is, animals do what animals do. They're more or less predictable. It's people that do the wild stuff. So as a ranger, the most wild encounter I ever had was with a squirrel, because you know the big stuff, like the bears and the cougars, and they would rather just be off doing their thing. But I did have a squirrel incident that involved a death. That it wasn't my death, nor was it a park visitor. So yeah, that was unfortunate. But here's the thing that I learned. You kill a squirrel one time and you're just labeled the rest of your ranger career.
As a squirrel killer?
Yeah. Yeah. But it had it coming. It bit a park visitor. It attacked me. It had it coming.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I feel like there's so much of that story you're leaving
out. Oh, yeah. There is. It's interesting. But you would expect, if I'm going to tell you a story about a wildlife encounter, it's going to be a bear or a cougar or a bobcat. That's but no, right.
it's not a squirrel.
It's a squirrel.
When I was a kid, there was a squirrel. We were in North Glen, Colorado, which is just north of Denver. And there were these squirrels that lived, you know, in the backyard. And we slowly were giving them nuts, and they would come closer and closer to the house. And then we had them coming in the house, going down the stairs into the, you know, and they're pretty brave, those little squirrels.
Yeah. You know? And you can't trust them. You just can't trust a squirrel. Yeah. And it's interesting, even today, and that happened many, many years ago. And even today, I will get, I guess there were recently on Instagram, there was a reel circulating of a squirrel attacking someone in the man's own garage. And so several people sent that to me because they know my history.
Yeah, because they know that you know that squirrels are crazy.
Yeah, you can't trust them.
if you learn nothing at all from today's podcast, that's what you need to know. Don't trust the squirrels.
Yeah, that's right.
You got it.
Yeah, and it's all a plan. Like those squirrels you used to give nuts to, they were planning a takeover of your home. I'm sure of it.
Absolutely. So you're a park ranger and you're trying to connect with your community. Is that, I know that your original podcast was a podcast for other park rangers. Was that the motivation behind starting a podcast, was just to give information on park ranging? Was it to build a community? What was your thought process through starting that podcast?
Well, I had this idea. So I left parks and I went back to school and got an MBA and realized, gosh, I still love parks as much as the day I became a park ranger, which is still true today. And I wanted to be connected to parks, but I didn't want to go back and be a park ranger. And I had a friend who had a podcast, who Jared Easley, the co-founder of Podcast Movement, he invited me to be a guest co-host on his show. And I did terrible. That first episode, I did terrible. I don't know if that episode is still out there. And in some ways, I hope not. But Jared was and is such a good podcaster. And back then, this was in 2013, I would just blurt out the question. No conversation. I just blurt out a question. Uh-huh. But I realized, there is something special here. I used to have the great fortune to just sit down with the park manager and have good conversations about parks. And doing episodes of Star of the Doubts with Jared helped me realize that, I could take what I used to do with the park manager and turn it into a podcast, but it could be not just one person I was talking to. I could talk to all of these people and turn. So that was the idea behind the Park Leader Show, is it would allow me to bring it, to have great conversations with park people and put it out there for everyone here. And it has been fantastic. The show's still going, and it's a couple times a year I go and speak at park events because park people are my people. It's been a while since I've been a park ranger, but I just this past week got two invitations to speak at two park events, one in Michigan, one in California. I just spoke at the National Association of State Park Directors Conference, which as a former park ranger, that's such a huge honor. So it's really interesting to see how that turned out, because I probably have it is true, I have a bigger reach in parks now than if I had stayed a park ranger. And that's what podcasting can do.
Mm-hmm. And have you put together a squirrel trauma recovery group? Is that something you're collecting at each of these events that you go to?
No, every once in a while, someone at an event will know about the squirrel, because I did an episode I talked about it on one episode of the Park Leader Show. And I did one episode of the Jody Mayberry Show about it. And so some people do know it. And I did that partially because people would always ask me to tell the story. And then I said, okay, I will just record the story and then it's out there and I can direct people to hear it. So the Jody Mayberry Show, the episode of the squirrel is called Some Stories Never Die. And that's because that story never died.
I feel like you should brand that, and you could be selling all kinds of merchandise and all kinds of stuff.
I know. I probably should have used a squirrel as the logo for the Park Leader Show. I didn't think of that until now.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't know until you know, right? So it's one of those things.
Yeah. That's right. You have no idea. And it reminds me, it's just way off topic, but this happens with park rangers, that where the teddy bear comes from. Theodore Roosevelt, it's named after him because they were on a bear hunting trip, and then they cornered a bear and he didn't want to shoot it because he didn't think it was fair. So people were like, oh, that's so sweet. They made these stuffed bears and called them teddy bears after Theodore Roosevelt.
Okay. I did not know that's where the teddy bear came from. That's very interesting.
So then when Taft was running for president, they wanted to do something similar. And so they were using stuffed possums, and they called them Billy possums. I say all of that to say, there's the teddy bear, the Billy possum. I don't know. Maybe there's something with me and a squirrel in the works.
Right. The Jody squirrel, Mayberry squirrel.
Yeah, it doesn't quite have the same ring, does it?
Yeah, it doesn't. It does. We're just not used to it yet. So it's got to become, you know, the common house name. You know, teddy bear, everyone knows. I'm sure it seemed odd at first. And now they're like, okay, teddy bear. So, you know, the Mayberry squirrel, the Jody squirrel. I think the Jody squirrel makes more sense. The Jody squirrel. It's nice and short and simple.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. And you never know. I mean, the Billy Possum didn't catch on, but that's kind of a catchy name when you say it a few times.
Catchy name. Absolutely. That's awesome. Well, you continue to work hard in the podcasting world. You have multiple podcasts happening. You also are now, you have your own business of helping people start up podcasts, correct?
That's right. That's right. I've been helping with other people's podcasts for a while now, which really didn't. It just came because I had the Park Leader Show and then came Creating Disney Magic. And when you do something like that for a high profile person like Lee Cockerell and you do really well, people will start reaching out to you saying, can you do for me what you did for Lee? So I just started hosting shows and producing shows and probably the most I've had at one time, I think I had 9 or 10 shows that I was hosting at one time. And now it's probably 6 or 7. I have a new show, by the way, that since you saw me speak, I came out with a new show. My son went away to college and I was just used to being around him every day and being able to give him advice and counsel. And I thought, well, gosh, how am I going to be a daily influence in his life now that he's gone? And I thought, well, I'll just do what I do. So I started a daily podcast just for my son, but I put it out there on all the public channels and really only cared if he listened to it. But what's been surprising is how many downloads it gets, how many people actually listen to a show intended just for my son. And that also means I have to be careful not to give away, you know, any personal stories that would embarrass him. But yeah, it has been really, that has been a fun project. I'd never done a daily show before, nor had I ever done a show with an intended audience of one.
So what are you doing in that show? Are you just talking about, hey, today I went to the grocery store and bought some milk? And is it just kind of keeping him up to date with life at home while he's away?
Every day is a lesson about something because I'm not around to influence him. So I wanted to be able to just give him a message of encouragement or think about this. And then I also realized that it's just natural that, oh, there goes my dad again. Talking about so half of them are from me and half are from other people. So like Lee Cockerell has done it a lot because he's known August since August was a little kid. So it's half are from me, half are from other people, and it's just a lesson, a message of encouragement. Or
what's today's lesson?
Today's lesson is about how to be recommendable.
Okay.
Yep. And then yesterday's lesson, as an example of some things that happen, is Ray Edwards. He's got a podcast, The Ray Edwards Show. Ray Edwards was recited the Rudyard Kipling poem, If. So that was yesterday's lesson. So sometimes it's things like that, and sometimes it's some are really short. I've never had one longer than 5 minutes. They're usually give or take about 2 minutes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are becoming a lot more popular though. The shorter little snippets, for people just to get and kind of be able to continue to move on with, you know, a thought for the day or a lesson for the day.
Yeah.
I think that's good.
I think so. And I did it just cause I knew, oh, if I ramble on, he's not going to listen. So I better keep it short. Yeah. So that's the only,
is he listening? Do you know if he's listening?
He says that he is, I have to take his word for it, but I do. No, only once did he reach out to me after one of the episodes. There was, because he's big into board games. We're a big board game playing family.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, we are too.
And the founder of Stonemaier Games? Yeah, I'm Stonemaier. Sure. So they did Wingspan and Scythe and a few others. But he did a message for August.
We're going to have a conversation about board games because you just said two that I've never heard of before.
Those
are good games, I'm guessing?
Yeah, good games. Okay. Good games, yeah. Okay. So he did a message for him, and then August couldn't believe it. He's like, oh my goodness, I didn't know who that was, but I looked him up. Holy cow. So yeah,
that's cool.
That's the only one I've heard from. But there's been other guests that it's been pretty cool. Yeah. A lot of Disney people, because of my Disney connections, have given him messages.
That's
cool, though.
That's great. And how big is your family?
Five, if you count my dog, which I always do.
Four total, like you, your wife, and two kids?
That's right.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. So then, is he your oldest, the one that just went off to college?
Yes.
And he's a freshman, I'm guessing, this year?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah,
freshman. So big change, though, especially when you spend all these years playing board games for four people, and now all of a sudden you've only got three. Games aren't the same. You have to now cut everything into threes instead of fours. Mm-hmm. So like if you stop and get a donut, for example, in Portland, there's a wonderful donut place, Blue Star Donuts, and I only say this to help you out. I'm not trying to mean mouth tourists. All the tourists stop at Voodoo Donuts. All the locals stop at Blue Star Donuts.
Okay,
so
gotcha.
When we pass through Portland, we stop at Blue Star Donuts, and then it's real easy. You just two cuts, and then everyone gets 1/4, and then you can try different donuts. Well, now what do? It's not two cuts anymore. So there's just little things that are changes in life that you don't expect.
That's all. Yeah, we have four kids, and so we love playing games with them as well, learning new card games, learning new board games and different things like that. So you just mentioned two games. What were the two that you said?
Wingspan and Scythe. Yes. Yeah.
And what are the premises of what's Wingspan? Tell me about that.
Well, Wingspan is an interesting one because it's about birds and being a park ranger. That has been an interesting shift in board games from the traditional style. Let's just say like Sorry and Monopoly, which are all fun. Thoroughly enjoy those games. I'll play Sorry all day long with you if you want. So next time we meet up, bring your Sorry board. I'm in.
Sorry, Parcheesi, and Trouble. All the same game in different packaging.
There you go. But there's been a shift in games that are almost like a story. Even like Settlers of Catan is more story-based.
Yeah, we love that game at my house.
Oh, what a good game. Yeah.
Yeah. We have Settlers of Catan for kids as well.
Oh, nice.
Which is, we play both versions. Now our kids are old enough they can do both, but it was great to have the kid version for a while.
I have an unfortunate Settler story. Someone was kind enough to buy... So we were in the backcountry of Glacier National Park, and I took a picture of us playing Settlers of Catan and posted a picture on social media. And then someone bought us the travel pack, and it comes in a container that's self-contained and the pieces don't flop around. Really, very, very cool.
And I've always wanted to have one that's like wood and magnets that would like stick together.
That's
not this one.
No, but you would like, it's worth getting the travel version.
It's the travel one.
Yeah. And so we took it to Florida with us one time, and we come back from Florida and then we're unpacking, and I'm guessing our bag was searched by TSA for. That happens randomly, but our Settlers was just ripped open, unfixable. And I guess what happened probably is they couldn't open the container, the travel container, because it's meant to not just flop open. And so they forced it open and then saw it was a board game and just shoved it back in our bag. So unfortunate.
I thought for sure you're going to tell me like a squirrel popped out or something.
These days, it wouldn't surprise me.
So you have Wingspan, and you have what is the other one? Scythe?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Scythe. So look up Stonemaier Games. They just, their newest.
Are these like strategy games or?
Yeah, yeah. And their newest one, I haven't played the newest one. It's about bees. So how cool is that though? They do a one game about birds, one game about bees. I know that sounds like it's heading in a direction that might make the next game inappropriate, but
but it's okay.
But it's okay. So
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, great. And I love seeing stuff like that. There's even a national parks game now. All sorts of games. So, how old are your kids?
We have an 11-year-old, a 10-year-old, and twins are 8.
Oh my goodness! Such fun ages, and all close enough where you can all play the same games.
Yep.
Yeah.
We've recently started, we learned the game. Have you played of Skyjo?
No, that is a new game for me.
It's a fun card game. You can play it with regular cards, but they also have like a Skyjo deck. Great game. You can play it with 3 to 8 people probably.
That's
a good one for you guys.
One unexpected game that we went to, my wife and I, for our anniversary, went to Victoria, British Columbia. And they have a board game cafe there, which is the best one I've ever been to. And we just wanted to discover something new. And they have people on staff to help you learn how to play games. And so we asked one of them, what is one of your favorite games that we probably haven't played? And he brought out a card game called Parade, which we absolutely love. Fantastic game. The only problem is we've had it a few years now and have played it many, many times, and I have never beat my wife. So I suspect she knows how to cheat in that game in a way I haven't figured out, because I can't understand why she could beat me so many times.
Yeah. Parade.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. The last game we've played in our house though was Exploding Kittens. You've probably heard of that one.
I'm familiar with that one. Yeah.
Yeah. That one's always a good time.
Yep. Yeah, it's similar. We have Know Your Meme, and then another really fun game that we play that our kids are, it's good for the age of our kids, is How Well Do You Know Your Family?
Interesting. We've not played that one.
So it'll have a question that you ask, and basically you ask it for yourself, and it'll say, my favorite restaurant to eat out at is, and then whoever answers correctly will get the card. But then there's also like challenges. One of my favorite challenges the other day was who can do the plank the longest. And so whoever could do a plank the longest got the card, or do an impersonation of someone else in your family. And whoever guesses it right. You know, so lots of fun, much fun. And the kids really, really love that game as well. But, it's really what it's all about, right? I mean, all the things that we're doing is we want to invest in our kids. And I have a mentor that his kids grew up and they're all strong, healthy, wonderful human beings. I asked him once, I said, what did you do in your home? How did you raise them to be who they are? And nobody, you know, went off the deep end or did anything crazy. And he said, you know, I don't really know what we did other than we loved being with each other and we loved spending time with each other. And so as they got older, that just continued. And so it was never them having to go off and find answers through friends or people outside of the home, but we were just so well connected inside the home that that just continued through. And now everyone's graduated and they're still a tight-knit family. And so my wife and I are like, we want that. We want that for our kids, where as they get older, that we just genuinely enjoy spending time with each other. It sounds like you guys are very similar in that aspect.
Yeah, we have been so deliberate about time together as a family, board games, hiking, whatever, but it's been very deliberate. And I will tell you though, when you live your family life like that, it is, no one prepared me how hard it was for your first kid to go away.
Yeah.
It is tough. And But I'm,
are you prepared for the second one to go? I mean, I can't. I mean, at that point, it's like,
I don't know.
We won't bring that up. We won't talk about that today.
I know. No. That's, I should have told you what's off limits to talk about. That's one of them.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah. I apologize.
Yeah. But it is, it's really neat. And then you discover, like we've only gone to visit my son once since he left. And
is he out of state?
Yeah, he's in Oregon, but it's okay. Only 4.5 hours away, so
okay.
It's not too bad.
Not too bad.
But I discovered for the first time, because I'd never had the opportunity to discover it, I'm like, wow, he, as an adult, he's a really good guy, fun to be around. And it made me sad to realize, oh, gosh, he's his own man now. He's part of the family, but he's not part of the family the way he used to be. So that made me sad, but it made me absolutely delighted to realize what a good guy he is. Like, I like the adult version of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is the goal, right? I mean, our goal is to help raise these kids that grow up and be strong, healthy, functioning adults. And so to see that actually carry out and take place and be able to stand back and go, hey, we did our job. We did what we were supposed to do. And now engage in the next phase of relationship. You know?
Yeah, that's right. And here's how it ties back to podcasting is it's such a long-term investment, And podcasting is too, that like you have to be willing to really stick with it for a long time if you want things to turn out the way they should. And I remember I used to tell my son, let's say he was 8 and he'd do something dumb, because 8-year-olds do dumb stuff and they do selfish stuff, even when they're really good kids, they just look out for themselves as they should.
That's what they do. Yeah.
And I would say, look, we've got to deal with this, not for the 8-year-old August, my son's name's August, not for the 8-year-old August, but for the 18-year-old August, because that's who I'm focused on. So his whole life, I was always saying, 10-year-old August is mad at me and I don't care. 20-year-old August is going to be really happy with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, always looking at the future.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to do in the moment for a lot of people, is to take back that perspective and try to see the big picture, especially when they just threw a ball through your TV or whatever it might be.
Yeah, when we first got an Oculus, the Quest, whichever you call it, we forgot to tell my daughter about what the red lines mean, and she punched out our TV screen.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Of course that happened.
Of course it did. Yeah.
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 I had a really good, a pastor mentor of mine that talked to me about the ministry of presence. And I always think about that with my kids as well, is the power of presence and, you know, the, not just being around, but actually being present in the moment. And how, we, especially with technology and things today, we have to be very intentional about that as well. That's why we love board games, is because it forces everyone to put aside any kind of distractions, whether, you know, for my wife and I as well, to put our phones down and to really engage and be present with them. And so, you know, always thinking about that as the power of being present with the family. And it's really easy, especially for those of us that are at work all day, to want to go home and just veg out and be done, you know, but to be intentional when I get home to be present with my kids. And when they ask me to do something, you know, say, I'm still working on it. I'm not 100% at it. But if, you know, one of them says, hey, let's go out and throw the football, or hey, can we play chess? You know, my immediate reaction, this actually happened last night. My son is really into chess. He hasn't beat me yet. And so I feel pretty proud of that I can beat my 11-year-old at chess still. But because I'm not that good. But he'll ask, Dad, can we play? And my first reaction is, I don't want to. I'm tired. I want to just sit and do nothing. But then I say, set up the board, you know, make it happen. Like these are the things that I need to be doing, and I need to invest in that. And it's fun for him to learn and for me to be teaching him the game and teaching him strategy and critical thinking. And there's so many things that come with the game of chess that are a lot of fun. But, you know, that the power of being present is just so, I think, an important aspect of what we need, in the world of chaotic world that we're in the world of technology.
Yeah. What a great story and a great lesson. And someday your son's going to tell his son about playing chess with his dad.
That's right.
Yeah. And it could have been that instead he would have said, oh, I always wanted my dad to teach me chess, but he was too busy.
Yeah.
So he was going to tell a story one way or the other, and you're giving him a good story to tell.
That's right. Good. That's the hope anyway.
Yeah. And there is more. I know we've hijacked your show into talking about parenting mostly, but there.
Oh, no, it's good.
Here's a great example. I asked Lee Cockrell I don't think mind sharing this story, so I'll give his name because it. So I asked Lee one time, I was talking about career, and I said, Lee, you had such a great career. Is there anything you would have done differently, though? And he said, I wouldn't have left Priscilla to raise Daniel by herself so much. And then I thought about that for a long time, and I brought it up to Lee again, not just sometime this year. And he said, well, yeah, here's the thing, though, that when I was home, because that was when he was at Marriott and he was gone a lot opening hotels. He said, when I was home, I did not have any hobbies. It was all about Daniel and Priscilla. So when I was home, I was there, and I was there only for them. And I don't think, this is Lee talking, I don't think Daniel felt it, but Priscilla felt it. Priscilla felt like she was left to raise Daniel. And so I took a trip with his son, Dan, recently, and I brought that up. And he was like, oh yeah, when I look back, I don't feel like my dad wasn't around. He was there at all the important moments. He was at most of my football games. Lee even has a story. He was at a Marriott in Japan and flew home for one of Daniel's football games and then flew back to Japan. And so Dan remembers it as, yeah, my dad was there at all the important moments and doesn't feel like he wasn't around, but Priscilla probably does. Like, oh, Lee was never here. But I tell that story to go with what you were saying, that Lee was self-aware enough to realize, gosh, I'm gone all the time. But when I'm here, I'm not going to golf. I'm not going to work in the garage. I'm not going to sit and read a book all by myself. I'm here. When I'm here, it's for the family. And then you look now, you talk to his son who is in his 50s, and his son looks back and feels it that, oh, my dad was always here, when that wasn't physically true, but because Lee poured so much time into his family when he was there, that his son looks back and feels like his dad was always there. And that's what you do when you're tired, but you say, set up the board.
Yeah. And I mean, and you're living it right now where, man, time flies, right? I mean, Facebook is the worst with that because they bring up the memories and you go, oh my, I cannot believe that was 5 years ago, or I can't believe that was 10 years ago, you know? I mean, it's great. I'm glad to see those memories, but I mean, time goes by so quickly. And you know, the thought of in 5 years, you know, Ezra will be able to drive a car. It just, I think, you know, we barely trust him with a knife, you know?
Yeah.
So, I know one of the other things that I wanted to make sure that we touched on is you mentioned to me that, another way that you intentionally invested in your own children was writing letters to them. Could you tell me a little bit about what is that? What kind of letters are you writing? How often are you writing them? And what drove you to want to do that in the first place?
I'll start with your last question first and build on that.
Okay. So, yeah, whatever order you take it away.
So what started that is the day my son was born, that I had all these feelings and excitement and had no idea of what to do with it. And I had a blank journal. And so I wrote him a letter in that journal. And then I did it the next day and the next day. And it has gone on for 18 plus years every day. So I wrote to my son every day until my daughter was born. And I thought, gosh, I don't want to keep two of these going. So I started writing to both of them every day. And now that my son is out of the house, then I'd write just to my daughter now. But I don't even know if they know I do it or if they care that I do it. But every day for 18 years, I've written to them. And it's a sense of what goes on around here daily, which seems boring until, let's say now, my kids are in their 40s and they can read what it was like growing up in our house. Or they read of when their dad was a park ranger and what he did to end up getting promoted and why he ended up to leave his dream job of being a park ranger. And they read about moving across state, and it's full of family stories. Because every day has been documented. It'll have stories about me and their mother and their grandparents and just everything. Like, if you're going to write every day, there are some days nothing happened worth writing about. So what do? You bring up something from the past and you write about it. Or another thing, a tactic that I have done, if I have nothing to write about that day, I'll get an old picture and put it in the journal and then write about the story of whatever's going on in that picture. And it's just been, it's really interesting. I hope it will be a gift they treasure someday.
Sure.
And at the same time, you start to look at life a little different, that if you have to document everything you've done and write about it and tell your kids about it, and then maybe that someday their kids are going to see it, I don't know, you behave a little better, probably. You, when given two options, you choose the one that's the better story because, oh, I get to write about that to my kid. So to them, Lee Cockrell has always been around, and they know they can call him and text him and whatnot. I mean, he's bigger to them than Mickey Mouse. And so they get to read the story someday of how Lee and I met and how that built. And not just me reflecting back on it. They see every day as things progressed over the year. So I hope it's something they enjoy someday. It's a good exercise for me as a father to do. And sometimes I write about now, and then sometimes I just say, okay, my daughter as an adult with kids or as an adult who just got married is going to read this. And so I'll do a note to her, you know, just personal about, hey, because, which is a interesting exercise when your daughter is four, my daughter's 16, but let's say your daughter's four and you're writing to her marriage advice, but she's only four, but you know, when she reads it, she's going to be 25, whatever. So at the moment, I have no plan of how or when to start passing these on to them, but I have picked a date. I don't know if I'll stick to this, but I have decided the day after my daughter graduates from high school will be the last day I do it. So we'll see if I stick to that. But yeah.
Then you'll just start another podcast anyway, right?
Yeah, because I'll have more time. So why not? Yeah. But what if I stop after she graduates? I mean, that'll be more than 20 years I've written to them every day. So what else will I have to tell them at that point? I think I'll be dry.
Yeah, I bet you, I can only imagine that your grandkids at some point are going to love those stories. I mean, I know personally, I love hearing stuff about my parents when they were kids, you know, the things because, you know, you didn't know them as children, you know? And so, being able to get an insight into how they were, I just think that's going to be an incredible gift, not only to your kids, but to your grandkids.
Yeah, I hope so. But here's the danger of it is, let's say my kids or even my grandkids, and I tell them a story about the blizzard of 2018 and how we had to dig ourselves out and all that. And then they read the daily letter from when that actually happened. And they're like, what are you talking about? There was 2 inches of snow. So
that's right.
I put myself at risk. Yeah. I put myself at risk because they will have the actual account and not my story. So
yeah,
I'll just deal with that when it happens.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, I really appreciate you, Jody, taking the time to come and chat with me. And man, I don't feel like you hijacked anything. We love talking about parenting. I mean, it's such an important piece to what we want to do and to what we want to be. When you think about being created strong, I mean, that's one of the things we're created strong to do, is we're created to be good, strong, healthy parents for our kids. And we want to be able to continue to give tools and application, not just these ideas and theories about what it means to be a good parent or to be a good father, to be a good husband, but actually giving practical tools. And so thank you for giving some things that you've done in your life that, I mean, you're seeing the fruit of your labor, right? You're able to see your son off at college being an incredible human being and caring for others and all the things that I'm sure that you would are prideful about when it comes to him. And you're going to be able to have the same stories with your daughter, I'm certain of it. And so, you know, investing in their lives, spending time with them, and balancing that out with being in the workforce, right? I think that's one of the hard things to do. You know, I'm grateful for Lee and his wisdom on that as well, as far as balancing work life and home life and what that looks like and having healthy boundaries. And so I'm grateful for these conversations. And I'm grateful for you, our listeners who are out there. I hope that you were able to take some nuggets out of this today and say, hey, maybe I should write a letter to my kids. Maybe you just do it once a year, you know, even a once a year letter of kind of recapping the year and using that as an opportunity to capture those memories, you know, taking time to be present with your kids when you're at home, taking the time to invest in them. And so take these things, be better, know that you've been created strong. We have to make those changes in our lives in order to live strong. So thank you. We release a new episode every single Wednesday. Make sure to listen again next week and go check out Jody's podcast. He's got several of them out there. You can look them up. You can look them up online. Jody, what's your website?
JodyMayberry.com. And all,
how'd you come up with that?
Yeah, I know it took a lot of deliberation, but I finally found a website I thought fit, and all the shows are listed there, so you can find
that's perfect. So go listen to Jody, continue to, you know, get a nugget of wisdom every single day. And appreciate you again, Jody. Thanks guys for listening, and we'll catch you next week.
Thank you so much for listening to the Strong by Design podcast. If you found value in today's episode, please subscribe so that more people can find out about our show. Plus, you don't want to miss any future episodes with the amazing guests and topics we have lined up for you.